was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever been funnier than Abe Lincoln. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the best sidekick since anyone who ever rode in the sidecar of one of those really strange motorcycles.
Okay, then.
He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going to accept that. I like that. The sidekick.
Yeah. It's kind of like I'm driving the motorcycle and you're over there in the sidecar, well, and we're just having a great time heading down the highway.
I totally own it. When I think sidekick, I think Batman and Robin. Is that all right?
That's definitely you're hesitating. Okay. No, I will take it.
Yeah, they had sidecar.
Wait a minute, is this another one of those Adam West things?
Well, since you brought it up, if you can't see Brent on your podcast, he looks like Adam West. He really does. I think so. And that's a good thing. Young Adam West.
Yeah, I got to stress that
part.
Well,
he's dead now.
So not Adam West now. But, I don't look like a deceased Adam West.
Yeah, I love that show. All right, go ahead.
All right, so in this episode, it is a funny thing happened to Abe Lincoln on the way to the office. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real, only the sponsorship is fake.
Worn out husband.
She could have reproached him for his fits of temper, his all-in complaints. But wisely, she saw in his frequent colds, his on-edge condition, the very trouble she herself had whipped. Constipation. The very morning after taking NR, Nature's Remedy, as she advised, he felt like himself again, keenly alert, peppy, cheerful. NR, the safe, dependable, all-vegetable laxative and corrective, works gently, thoroughly, naturally. It stimulates the eliminative tract to complete regular functioning. Non-habit forming? Try a box today. 25 cents at your druggist.
I love that word. I've never heard it
the
put that way.
The eliminative tract?
The eliminative tract.
I guess that's the digestive system in today's lingo.
It's eliminating.
Yeah.
I guess that C word, it's better than the alternative, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, it's better than the not
The D word, you know.
But for sure, I kind of like the idea in this one that he's not a jerk. He's just constipated.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you certainly are grumpy today. Well, you know, I need more pep.
That ought to put it right back into his system.
Oh, right. Uh-huh. Well, you remember what we did last time, Brent?
What?
Well, I went back looking at old, listening to those old podcasts, believe it or not, when you're really bored. And I didn't realize that some of them we sound a little weird. Like maybe we took a good long lunch there. I don't know what happened.
All right.
I don't remember it that way, but I don't remember a lot of it anyway.
It makes sense. Let's hear it.
Yeah, listen to this.
Office open at all hours. Now, I like that about this dentist.
Yes. Well, when that pain hits, you wish that you were related to a dentist. You know, you
can sneak
just
into the
call
office
him up.
At night.
Oh, you gotta fix this tooth, right?
And then nitrous oxide. You came across some interesting nitrous oxide stuff, didn't you?
Well, that's right. I was telling you about the parties. They discovered, it's laughing gas, people know it as, and it does kind of make you want to laugh.
Oh, we're having some fun here.
Yeah. Now, Brett, once again, I think I sounded great.
You think
sounded just a little off. I don't know what it was.
A little slower.
Yeah, maybe that
longer
was it.
To form a word.
that could have been it right there.
Laughing gas.
Those long lunches get you every time,
remember,
right?
Yeah, I don't remember what episode that was, but gee, I wish I did.
You know what? People will just have to go and listen to every episode until they find it. And
right.
If you find which episode that was in, then email us and tell us
what's
going
on. Oh, it's a contest
on.
Now.
Apparently
what
it is.
What do they get? They get a long lunch?
They get...
You go to a long lunch with Adam West. Dream date with Adam West.
That's definitely a prize, we got to say. And now for the moment we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one.
We have arrived, Jason. And as we already know from previous episodes.
What?
Abe Lincoln's kind of funny.
He was witty.
Yeah.
He was known for that.
Yeah. And the wit could do some good things for you, but then it also might have a few drawbacks. And so we will see both because we've got two stories here. We've got one that's just kind of a good, funny, aha moment. And then we've got one that actually got kind of serious on him.
So it backfired a little bit.
The wit can sometimes backfire, and we will see how that unfolded.
He smarted off to the wrong person.
Yeah, and in this case, it was actually Mary Todd Lincoln who smarted off.
Aha. Well,
and then,
I mean,
and
well,
then he
can't
had
do
to,
anything about that.
Well,
she's an independent person.
In the 19th century, you could do something about it.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about her.
Yeah, so this is, we're going to see like a little inside baseball Mary Todd Lincoln wit.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So you get both Lincolns, two for the price of one.
It's not about baseball, though.
They should run that sale down at the Ford dealership, right? Two Lincolns for the price of one?
Yeah, okay, right.
That'd be
they
tremendous.
Still make those cars, don't they?
Yeah.
The Lincoln.
They sure do. They're $88,000.
What? Okay, really? Are you driving one?
No, I am not.
Oh, okay.
I drove away from the dealership when I learned that.
By the way, we need sponsors. That'd be totally cool.
Yeah.
Lincoln.
Yeah. Hey, Lincoln could sponsor this anytime. Anytime they want to. We will listen. And we'll be glad to tell people that $88,000 is a deal.
So they just picked a famous, like a really famous, beloved character and say, we'll name our car after that.
I'm not sure exactly
the Eagle?
Where that went. Cadillac did that. That was a real dude, Cadillac, but he was like a historic figure.
Right, that's what I mean, though. They said, like, who's the really beloved character? Lincoln.
Yeah,
okay, use his name.
That might have been. That might be the Lincoln. I'm not
Maybe
sure
not.
Which Lincoln that is.
Okay.
We'll have to look into that. That's
you
a future episode,
you
right?
You hate episode. It when I will not stop.
No. We love it.
Okay.
But let's look at this first story. The first story is how Lincoln and Judge B swapped horses.
Really? Okay, that's it?
Yeah.
That's
the title of it. Sorry. So
real horses. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, real horses.
All right.
When Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer in Illinois, he and a certain judge once got to bantering one another about trading horses, and it was agreed that the next morning at 9 o'clock they should make a trade. The horses to be unseen up to that hour and no backing out under a forfeiture of $25, which is a pretty big pile of cash in the 19th century. That's something like a month's worth of pay.
Right, yeah. Well, how much is a horse?
I don't know the exact price
more,
there, but you can tell that it's probably going to be in the neighborhood of that maybe since that's the wager like.
Right.
And so that's the idea, right? Like, I guess they were both complaining about the horse. Like, oh, man, my horse is really bad. Like,
oh,
you haven't seen anything. My horse is really,
really
bad. It's kind of like when you traded stories about your first car and how bad it was and how
all
the parts fell off. And So they were going to, like, swap cars, okay? They're going to swap horses.
Like, any horse would be better than mine. I'll call you on that.
Yeah,
then.
Really? I'll give you that. Yeah, that's what happened. So at the hour appointed, the judge came up, leading the sorriest-looking specimen of a horse ever seen in these parts. In a few minutes, Mr. Lincoln was seen approaching with a wooden sawhorse upon his shoulders. Great were the shouts of laughter of the crowd, and both were greatly increased when Mr. Lincoln, on surveying Judge's animal, set down his sawhorse and exclaimed, "Well, Judge, this is the first time I ever got the worst of a horse trade."
So it was, he was just messing with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little lighthearted, good-natured Abraham Lincoln wit.
Some down-home type humor there.
Yeah, and he's famous for that.
Right.
He's known for that and kind of a weird laugh, too.
Well, I think P. people probably think he had this deep, strong, you know, kind of low voice, but he actually had a real high-pitched voice, didn't he?
I think some of the accounts, yeah. especially when he's laughing, like people are like,
or he's portrayed that way in movies, yeah. and so we all think that.
So now we can see the dark side of all this is when you use that wit and it does the backfiring thing like we talked about before. And in this particular case, it actually just about got really serious. So let's see about that.
Okay.
This was a little dispute that the Lincolns had with a man named Shields.
Yeah.
So the late General Shields was auditor of the state of Illinois in 1839. While he occupied this important office, he was involved in an affair of honor with a Springfield lawyer, no less a personage than Abraham Lincoln. At this time, James Shields, auditor, was the pride of the young democracy and was considered a dashing fellow by all, the ladies included. And here's where the wit is going to come in. He's sort of like a handsome... Gaston, ladies' man
right.
sort of type, okay? In the summer of 1842, the Springfield Journal contained some letters from, quote-unquote, the lost townships by a contributor whose nom de plume was Aunt Becca. So this is a fake place with a fake author.
Right.
And then the subject of the letter is this James Shields guy.
This happened all the time, too, back then. They would publish letters that were
anonymous letters.
Anonymous,
and
yeah.
you'd pick like an old Roman empire name or something like that.
Right.
And just to make sure people didn't know exactly who the author was. That's what's happening here. So fake name, fake town. And these letters then held up the gallant young auditor as a ballroom dandy floating about on the earth without heft or substance. Just like a lot of cat fur where cats had been fighting.
Uh-huh.
So this is some old-timey trash talk,
right? Okay, right.
There's nothing to this guy. He's like a pile
yeah,
of cat
right.
fur.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So he kind of prances around, and this writer has just had enough of it.
That's it.
Yeah.
These letters caused intense excitement in the town. Nobody knew or guessed their authorship. Shields swore... that it would be coffee and pistols for two if he should find out who had been lampooning him so unmercifully.
Coffee?
Coffee and pistols.
Coffee
so we're
going to
do the dueling thing, right?
Uh-huh, but first we're going to have a pot of coffee.
I think that's nice. That's be like more trigger happy that way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've just never heard it put that way. Yeah.
no, I haven't either. That's what's kind of funny about this. Thereupon, Aunt Becca wrote another letter.
Oh,
so we're
yeah.
going to take it up another uh-huh. notch. We're going to dial it up from about 8 to about an 11 on this one.
Oh, all right. I'll pay attention.
Okay. And this letter made the furnace of his wrath 7 times hotter than before. So it sounds like he's a Yosemite Sam, right? He's going to blow his stack.
Right.
Yeah, the furnace of his wrath. And she made a very humble apology. So it's a fake apology in letter number 2 for letter number 1.
Oh, okay.
See how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, okay, go ahead.
And offered to let him squeeze her hand for satisfaction, adding, if this should not answer, there is one thing more I would rather do than get a licking. I have all along expected to die a widow, but as Mr. Shields is rather good looking than otherwise... I must say I don't care if we compromise the matter by, really, Mr. Printer, I can't help blushing, but I must come out, but widowed modestly, well, if I must, I must. Wouldn't he maybe sorter let the old grudge drap if I was to consent to be his wife?
Uh-huh.
So she's offering her hand in marriage as a compromise to
right.
the dispute?
Yeah, it's sounding,
instead of a duel?
It's nice so far.
Okay.
Okay.
I know he is a fighting man, and I would rather fight than eat, but isn't marrying better than fighting, though it does sometimes run into it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but settle this peacefully.
Right. Okay, well, you're leading up to something, but it sounds like, you know, when you pick on somebody that you think is good looking, kind of tease them just to get attention.
That's sounds kind of adding
way.
Up to, doesn't
right.
it?
Right, yeah.
And I don't think, upon the whole, I'd be it'd be such a bad match either. I'm not over 60, and I am just 4'3" in my bare feet, and not much more around the girth. So she's saying she's like 58. That does,
it sounds like Mary Todd. She was a diminutive little person, kind of. Maybe in relation to Abe, anyway.
Well, everybody was diminutive in relation to Abe. You see those old pictures, and he is clearly the tallest one in every one of them.
Right.
Yeah. So she's 4 feet tall and 4 feet wide, it says here in this letter. So she's advertising, like what he gets if they do the marriage compromise thing.
Right. Is this guy really mad, though? Because it just this is like a joke.
He was already mad, and now he's like, it's going to take it up to the next level.
Okay. Well, get to it.
But after all, maybe I'm counting my chickens before they're hatched, and reserved for me maybe a licking. Jeff tells me the only way these fire eaters do is to give the challenged party the choice of weapons, which, being the case, I tell you in confidence, I never fight with anything but broomsticks or hot water, or a shovel full of coals or some such thing. So I don't fight with pistols.
Right.
I fight with broomsticks.
Okay.
Or hot coals. Oh, we just throw hot coals at each other.
That throws hot coals in your face.
Yeah. So it's another. So now we're making fun of the dueling thing, right? The former of which, so that would be the broomstick, being somewhat like a shillelagh, may not be so very objectionable to him. So maybe this is like a little dig at some Irish heritage or something.
Uh-huh.
And, just whatever we can do to dial that up a little bit, right?
Okay.
I will give him a choice, however, in one thing, and that is whether when we fight I shall wear breeches or he petticoats. For I presume this change is sufficient to place us on an equality. So in a duel, you're supposed to have identical weapons and, you know, everything's supposed to be
right.
the same.
Yeah, right? To be fair.
So in this case, we're going to have the same uniform.
Uh-huh.
So either I need to put on some pants, she says, or we can need to put you in a woman's dress and send you out there for the duel. Of course, someone had to shoulder the responsibility of these letters after such a shot. The real author was none other than Miss Mary Todd, afterward the wife of Abraham Lincoln, to whom she was engaged, and who was in honor bound to assume, for belligerent purposes, the responsibility of her sharp pen thrusts. So he's on the hook for this, even though she said it.
Yeah, that's not fair.
That was chivalry.
Okay.
19th century chivalry.
So at this
stuff.
Point, they're not married. They're engaged. But
she's insulted this guy, and now it's Lincoln's problem.
Right. So, how does that come out? I missed how do people know now it's Mary Todd that it even becomes publicly.
It didn't say exactly how it got out. I'm sure somebody somewhere either put two and two together or they admitted it or something.
Yeah.
Mr. Lincoln accepted the situation. So, I mean, you can't turn down a duel offer, right? Because then you're a big, big wuss.
I know, but he's just he shouldn't be dueling with a woman in the first place.
Shields? Well, he's not going to. So that's what this is. So once they find out it's Mary Todd, then it's Lincoln's deal, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. The two men with their seconds were on their way to the field of honor. But the affair was fixed up without any fighting and thus ended in a fizzle, the Lincoln Shields duel of the lost townships.
Uh-huh.
So eventually they sort of talked their way through it. And they didn't actually have to go through there.
Okay.
And probably Lincoln just turned on the charm, smoothed
it over. Had a cup of coffee about it.
Let's do the coffee, hold the pistols.
Get a cappuccino, have some more decaf.
Yeah, for
You're
real.
A little wound up.
Take her down with the decaf. I like that. Our sponsor for this part of the program is Cabinets, a McDougal cabinet. Are you giving the women a square deal? In your office, in your store, or in your shop, you demand the utmost in time and labor-saving devices. Efficiency is your slogan. Be fair with your wife and buy her a McDougal kitchen cabinet. because it offers the utmost in ability and efficiency, because it is not an ordinary kitchen cabinet, but a veritable method of better kitchen management, saving time, saving energy, eliminating worry, and helps for a better utilization of foods. Buy her a McDougal tomorrow.
So it's a cabinet.
Congratulations, honey. Here's your cabinet.
Okay. Maybe in that just wasn't standard at the time in the kitchen. Basically, she needs to get in the picture. She's got all her pots and pans on the floor. She's exasperated.
So really, he's doing her a huge favor here by getting this as a present, right?
Feels a little bit like, you know, the how we all get more organized. We like to build shelves, constant shelving, organizing with boxes. You know what I mean? That's a thing.
Yeah, that's a good way to relate to
it. People are always trying to do that.
I just can't imagine what would happen to me if I showed up at an occasion with Mrs. Taylor.
Yes.
And here's the cabinet. That's the present.
Here is your gift.
I don't know that's going
to
end well.
I got you a dustpan to go with the broom.
Right.
But at that time, that was fine. You have to put it in the context.
That's true.
Of whenever that was.
That would long have been enough good. Ago that 100 you could
years
get away
ago.
With that.
Yeah, that would have been a heck of a thing.
It's 100 years ago, just about to the
even,
day.
Yeah, just to buy it even. I mean, you should be able to, frankly, get in there and build it. I'm sorry, so. I'm not coming along with you on this one. Oh, God. Don't
you should
ask
have
me.
Gone down the wormhole. I mean, yeah. I gave you the invitation.
Well, all right. Yeah.
But if you're not going to, then.
That's my takeaway, by the way.
No, your punishment That's is my the takeaway.
No, that was it. My takeaway is this commercial stinks.
Oh, I see.
I don't
you're,
know.
You're playing it the opposite way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who are you to say have to have a takeaway? I don't know. I'll give you an Abe thing, I guess. Abe's always good. There's got to be tons. I've never heard there's always tons of stories of Abraham Lincoln just being charming and people just wanted to believe in him and follow him. And frankly, it helps a lot when you're tall. Don't you agree?
You're more authoritative.
Yes.
You're more authoritative.
If you looked at presidents, probably, or like competitors to presidents,
The tall ones have the advantage,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear, Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return. You can download even more episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or rate us. If you did not like what you heard, sure, you close this thing way, way, way back. Special thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, West Kentucky Community and Technical College, a great place to learn, and WKMS. And the rest is history.